What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is December 7th, 2022, and it is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Another very, very busy news day. Hope to get it all in before we open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. And Mike is in our control room taking care of business, so let's get right on into it. Anyway, 81 years ago today, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And growing up in school, you were probably told it was this terrible surprise and betrayal and, you know, we had to go off to war. Since then, of course, it's come on out that in point of fact, it was not a surprise attack. Roosevelt knew they were coming. In fact, Roosevelt had goaded Japan into the attack as a backdoor to get America into the war against Nazi Germany in order to help Joseph Stalin. And at the time, American politicians and the public at large were opposed to wars. You know, the harm caused by World War I was still fresh in everybody's memory, and they just didn't want to do that. They wanted to be isolationist, and so Roosevelt basically played a dirty trick on the American people, as so many other presidents have done, and got us into war that way. But it was a conspiracy by the government, and Roosevelt provoked the attack, knew about it in advance, and covered up his failure to warn the Hawaiian commanders. And he basically, knew that the Japanese attack and the following U.S. declaration of war on Japan would force Hitler to declare war because of the Axis Agreement. And so that was his backdoor to war. And Roosevelt denied intelligence to Hawaii. There was information coming in from radio intercept stations in Hawaii, like Station H, and the information was decoded at Station Hypo, sent to Washington, D.C. directly and bypassed the commanders, and then Washington sent back information for the commanders that was designed to basically make sure that the Japanese attack did cause a significant amount of damage. Now, Roosevelt had arranged for all the modern ships, including the aircraft carriers and their escorts, to be absent from Pearl Harbor way down a ways south, so that what was sitting in the harbor when Japan showed up were mostly a lot of older ships. Some of them were relics from World War I. The sister ship to the Arizona, the Utah, which was also sunk, and the wreckage is still visible near the other side of Ford Island, had already been converted to a gunnery training ship. It was no longer considered combat worthy. So basically, Roosevelt sacrificed all those lives and all those assets to get us into that war. And didn't really lose that many assets. I mean, there's all the bombs and smoke and everything. But in the end, only three ships were lost to the Japanese attack. And, and Roosevelt sent false information to Hawaii, saying negotiations with Japan are continuing. And sent false information about the location of the Japanese carrier fleet as well. Now, I have a Pearl Harbor page. It's up at the top of the main website in that little box menu there. And one of the items that is in there is a memo that was written by Lieutenant Commander Arthur H. McCollum of the Office of Naval Intelligence. And he wrote up this memo. This was basically on October 7th, 1940, more than a year before the Japanese attack. And in the memo, McCollum basically detailed eight steps that would provoke Japan to war. And McCollum was very familiar with Japanese culture, and the actions that he suggested would seem minor to the American psyche, but to Japanese sensibilities would be seen as a huge, huge insult. And that's how we got into World War II, and all those lives lost. And again, we know now from our position here in the present day, looking back on history, that governments use dirty tricks to get us into war all the time. There was the Lusitania. When it was sunk, it was claimed to be just a passenger ship, an innocent victim of the Germans in World War One. But it was actually smuggling weapons to Great Britain, which made it a legitimate target of war. In fact, the government of Germany actually took out ads in American newspapers saying, do not book passage on the Lusitania. We're going to be hunting for it because it is gun running to Great Britain. And they basically sent the Lusitania into an area where they knew there were a lot of German U-boats. She was sent without any escorts, which, being a supposedly only a passenger ship, weren't required. And the Lusitania was torpedoed, and we got into World War One. Then we had the Spanish mine that supposedly sunk the USS Maine in Havana Harbor. The captain of the Maine, Captain Sigsbee, had said in his report it was an onboard fire that destroyed the ship. And everybody said, oh, you can't see the obvious. This was Spain's doing. And we had the Spanish-American War. And then years later, Admiral Hyman Rickover, the father of America's nuclear navy, conducted his own investigation and said Sigsbee was right. There had been an onboard fire. There was no evidence of a Spanish mine. And, of course, we if you're my age, you remember that big lie about torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. And so forth and so on. So, and then 9/11 was another one, and probably there's going to be another big kaboom to start off World War III and get everybody all hot and bothered to go kill the people we're told to kill. All right, getting on back to Twittergate, and except for, attacks and smearing and dismissal, the corporate media is still not dealing with this at all. But there's been an interesting new development because Elon Musk was releasing this data, and they did the initial release on Friday. And then they found out that James Baker, the ex-FBI lawyer, had been interrupting the flow of documents through Twitter and erasing references to the FBI's involvement in what was going on there. And for that reason, Elon Musk fired him yesterday, in fact, because Baker was not told to do that and actually hid what he was doing from Elon Musk. And that is definitely a firing offense. But Baker being ex-FBI, and there really is no such thing. You know, once FBI, always FBI. He was trying to protect his comrades and exceeded his authority. So basically what happened is James Baker intercepted the Twitter files before they could get to Matt Taibbi, scrubbed the references to the FBI, and again, Elon Musk was not told about this, and Elon Musk has now fired Baker. And, you know, I think Elon Musk needs to learn from Donald Trump's mistake taking office in 2017. Just clean the whole place out and bring in people that you know are going to be loyal to you and your agenda. And Elon hopefully is going to be firing a lot more people. He's already let a lot of people go in part because of the liberal bias and also in part because of the advertiser boycott, which, by the way, is failing. And he had to let people go for that. But, you know, it's going to take a long, long time to really get Twitter fine-tuned to be a free speech platform. And, you know, there's a lot of junk being posted on Twitter right now to try and damage the brand. They're out there with, you know, some obviously gratuitous hate speech and racist comments and, you know, a lot of pornography trying to damage the brand, as it were. And we're all smart enough to see through that obvious scam, as it were. So, pardon me. Let's see. Baker is gone now. Now, James Wood, he's an actor, and he always plays these heavy characters, and, you know, you can sort of grow up thinking that James Woods is an evil person, but he's actually very nice in real life. Highly intelligent, one of the most brilliant people in Hollywood, and he is now going to sue the Democratic National Committee. because they colluded with Twitter to censor his speech and violate his First Amendment rights. And by the way, on Twitter, there's a flood of tweets coming on in saying, oh, he's a failed actor. He's just doing this for attention, you know, and it's another, pointless Republican lawsuit. And they're just smearing him all over the place. So he's obviously having an impact, and I wish him a lot of luck. I hope he wins his lawsuit. Unfortunately, with our government as corrupt as it is, it's a long shot. It's a long shot. Now, late last month, Yoel Roth, the former head of trust and safety at Twitter, was a panelist at a conference hosted by the Knight Foundation titled Informed Conversations on Democracy in the Digital Age. And he spoke for about an hour. And basically, the gist of it was that he thinks the internet should be cleaned of all dissent, no matter what area it's in. You know, we can't have dissent on the internet. Well, that's the whole point of the First Amendment, to speak out when you've got a problem. It says right in there to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. And most people on Twitter are being very peaceful. And, again, from the shrill hysteria that is being displayed and aimed at Elon Musk and the new Twitter 2.0, I guess we could call it, and people like James Woods, they're in a panic. You can just smell the fear sweat, you know, wafting across the Potomac there. Meanwhile, over at MSNBC, which is like at the bottom of the ratings ladder right now, Mika Brzezinski came on out visibly upset over the fact that Amazon and Apple have resumed their advertising on Twitter. And probably, the attitude is, you know, hey, we need that money. We don't have any advertisers because we don't have much of an audience anymore. So they're all upset about that. How dare you support freedom of speech in this country? What do you think this is, a democracy or a republic? No, this is a fascist utopia, or at least it will be. Meanwhile, Todd Ricketts came on out. This is an article in Women's Systems saying America deserves a better alternative to Google's information monopoly. Now, Google is the 600-pound gorilla in the field. But there have been a lot of new up-and-coming search engines which promise to be unbiased and open and not censor what the government wants censored. But as of right now, Google still pretty much owns that. 90% of online searches are completed on Google. I've been using Yandex, which is a good search engine. It's located outside the United States and thus is free of political influence. All righty. Now, Elon Musk has criticized Wikipedia, claiming that the site has a significant bias towards the left. And they certainly do. And I myself have felt their wrath. There used to be entries for whatreallyhappened.com and for Michael Rivero. They were highly inaccurate and defamatory, actually, now that I think about it. And when I tried to correct it, they said, well, you're not an expert on Michael Rivero. And I said, really? I think I know Michael Rivero. I'm wearing his underwear. And so they just deleted my deleted the articles about me. You cannot find anything about me or what really happened other than second-party, third-party mention anywhere on Wikipedia. All righty. Now, there's an interesting article, again, from womensystems.com, and it's describing this big tech censorship as the largest campaign finance violation in history, costing Americans billions and potentially trillions of dollars. Now, the reason it's a campaign finance violation is there is value in what big tech was doing at the behest of the Democrats and the White House. They were not compensated for it that I'm aware of, but certainly it was election interference. And, that's not what the United States is supposed to be about. Now, there are a lot of Republicans who do not like Donald Trump, and they have basically jumped on his controversial remark about the Constitution, saying he's become a toxic force. Well, he's certainly toxic to those who are corrupt. And so they're going on out and making all kinds of things about, oh, Trump wants to end the Constitution. And that is not what he said. Now, granted, Trump could have been a little bit clearer in what he was saying. It was a little hard to follow, but in the end, no, he did not say ending the Constitution. All right. Over at the FBI, or the American Gestapo, whichever you prefer there, is now targeting Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. Okay? And you know, I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm not a terrorist. I'm irritating, obnoxious, and annoying, but I am not a terrorist. And this is proving that the FBI is currently the greatest threat to our republic, because it's a corrupt organization inside a corrupt Justice Department underneath a corrupt executive branch. And it's being led by criminals rather than going after criminals. In a recent report by Far Left Newsweek, the publication shared some unsettling news. The FBI has increased the number of investigations of Trump supporters over the past 2 years. Meanwhile, real criminals, you know, are getting off scot-free. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have the agents to investigate this. According to internal FBI numbers obtained by Newsweek, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremism was considered the prime threat and dominated FBI investigations before January 6. Since then, all anti-government, anti-authority, and civil unrest cases have taken over as the number one threat. And we went all through this back in the 1960s when there was a growing movement against the Vietnam War, which led to the abuses of COINTELPRO. And no doubt they're still playing the same games today. According to another article over at WorldNet Daily, the FBI is actually cooking the books in order to portray supporters of President Trump as the nation's number one domestic terrorism threat. And this is also quoting from that Newsweek article. And they're basically trying to overstate or manufacture a crisis where there really isn't one at all. I mean, if you want to talk about violent extremists, look at how the liberals reacted when Hillary lost in 2016. They were out there burning down cities left and right and, you know, going crazy. And the corporate media was saying, well, it's a mostly peaceful protest, you know, get the fire extinguisher and so forth and so on. Now, getting into some other political news, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has confirmed that Democrat Representative Adam Schiff will be removed from the House Intelligence Committee under his leadership. And McCarthy took aim at Schiff during an appearance on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. And it's expected, of course, he will be the next Speaker of the House. And McCarthy has promised that Schiff will be stripped of his powerful committee role. And good riddance, in my opinion here. Now, getting on back to Paul Pelosi. Remember, there was this situation in October where supposedly Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked by an intruder wearing underwear in the Pelosi home in San Francisco. And reportedly suffered a severe brain injury from a full force blow from a hammer to the head that required immediate brain surgery. However, he was able to give a statement during the ambulance ride to the hospital. He recently put on a public appearance where he didn't really seem to be all that injured. But what's really kind of interesting is this article in Domagood where they're talking about all the secrecy being placed around the trial of Paul Pelosi's attacker. You know, there are these overbearing protective orders, you know, regarding, you know, you can't talk to this person, you can't see this evidence and so forth and so on. So, again, signs of a cover up. All right. Now, anyway, as expected, because of the vote fraud, Warnock did defeat Herschel Walker and is going to basically heading to the Senate. Anyway, imagine my shock. I mean, just imagine my total shock here. Interestingly enough, over in Nebraska, Republican Governor Pete Ricketts is seeking an appointment to the seat currently held by retiring Senator Ben Sasse. And what Pete can do is basically resign from the governorship, and the lieutenant governor then takes over, and the lieutenant governor then says, yes, you are my appointee to go to the Senate. So that may actually happen. All right. Now, Carrie Lake is out there. She is a firebrand, and she's somebody that Arizonans can be proud of here. And Carrie Lake has issued a blistering response after a federal judge appointed by Barack Obama rebuked her and also imposed a fine after filing an election-related lawsuit. U.S. District Judge John Tucci of the District of Arizona. We got to take a break we'll come back to this after these few words.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the election fraud down in Arizona. And Carrie Lake is filing a lawsuit, and she tried to file it before, and the court said, no, you can't file it until the election is certified. They were hoping that once the election was certified, everybody would go away, but that's not happening. So anyway, there's this judge appointed by Obama, U.S. District Judge John Tucci of the District of Arizona, was the judge who rejected Lake's lawsuit earlier in the year and then moved to fine her attorneys and those of Republican Secretary of State candidate Mark Fincham last week. And basically, this judge came on out saying, imposing sanctions in this case is not to ignore the importance of putting in place procedures to ensure that our elections are secure and reliable. It is to make clear the court will not condone litigants ignoring the steps that Arizona has already taken toward this end and furthering false narratives that baselessly undermine public trust at a time of increasing disinformation about and distrust in the democratic process. It is to send a message to those who might file similarly baseless suits in the future. And he not only is the judge revealing his obvious bias, and he should recuse himself on that basis alone, or Carrie Lake should seek to have a change of venue on that, but he's basically saying what the real issue is here. If the American people really come to understand, and polls are showing, you know, slightly more than half of them are already aware of this, if the American people realize the elections are a complete fraud, then the government loses all legitimacy, and Americans are going to be justified in saying, why should I follow this government's rules? Why should I pay its bills? Why should I sacrifice my children in these wars of conquest all over the planet for a government that I did not elect? Okay, and probably the government has been absolutely terrified by events down in Brazil in response to that stolen election, and they're really very nervous. So we hear this from the liberals all the time, you know, oh, the elections are safe, and, you know, anybody complain, they're election deniers. That's the new phrase they're using, election deniers here. All right, let's get into COVID-19, the gift that keeps on giving, and Dr. Peter McCullough has come on out showing some studies have indicated that the synthetic mRNA from the Pfizer and Moderna experimental COVID shots may last permanently in the body and can transfer to the unvaccinated, changing the human genome. We're being reprogrammed, okay? And basically, McCullough said, it looks like the messenger RNA is transferring from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated now. And that is really kind of dangerous, especially when you look at all these, you know, increasing reports of problems and deaths associated with those shots here. Article coming on out of Zero Hedge, there was a study done on the COVID-19 booster shots in people that already had had COVID and hence had natural immunity, and they found out that the booster shots really did not add very much protection, in some cases none at all, for people with natural immunity. It's just, you know, let's make some more money by sticking needles in the people's arms, and it's just... it's all about the Benjamins here. All right. Now, there's been another incident where a pilot suffered a heart attack mid-flight. This was a Gulf Air Airbus A321, had to make an emergency landing in Iraq after the pilot suffered a heart attack. And this latest emergency adds to the growing list of suspicious vaccinated pilot tragedies. Now, the FAA maintains records on pilots who die in flight. And in the years before COVID, it was like maybe one or two or maybe three in a year. And since then, it's been a lot. It's really, really gone up. There was something definitely happening there. But they're going to say, this is the new normal. And, you know, we'll try and get you the plane to its destination here. But, you know, it's it may not make it here. Meanwhile, we're already getting warnings that they're going to try and bring back the mask mandates very soon, and I'm really kind of tired of that. Now, here in Indiana, the COVID is now apparently hit 13% of school students. When it gets to 17%, they go back to virtual learning. So... yeah, and it's hard to know, is that 13% accurate, or are they just running up the numbers again to keep up the fear porn? Meanwhile, over in Virginia, Governor Youngkin has ended the COVID-19 fines and penalties, and he's setting up a reimbursement process for those who paid unjust fines. And this was all done with an executive order ending the fines and penalties in Virginia. So good for Governor Glenn Youngkin. Okay, now this story is a little bit out there. This is from The Guardian. The story actually happened down in New Zealand. And there are a lot of people who did not get the vaccines, who are very concerned about blood transfusions with people who did get the vaccines because of the possible damages coming on in there. So there was a case involving a six-month-old baby and has a congenital heart defect, and the parents said, can we have vaccine-free blood? The hospital said no. They went to court, took the baby away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preaching man wags his head while the rich.
And welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about COVID-19, and the walls are starting to close in on Anthony Fauci. Back on November 23rd, he was giving a deposition and in which he claimed that he was not involved in the redaction of Freedom of Information Act requests. Legal filings are telling a very different story that, yes, in fact, he was there saying, we can't let that out, we can't let that out. Now, Alex Jones interviewed Dr. Andrew G. Huff of andrewhuff.com about inside information that exposed Dr. Fauci's gain-of-function operation and his role in the COVID-19 pandemic. And Dr. Huff is the whistleblower, and he's been blowing the whistle for about 2.5 years. And he filed these documented reports to the Senate committees. He got harassed for it, of course. And basically, this confirms that this was a bioweapons research. That's what gain-of-function research is intended to do. Now, another article along the same line, this is from Russia Today, is U.S.-funded bioresearch on foreign soil appears to be a giant intelligence operation for assessing biowarfare capabilities. And this is also sourced from Dr. Andrew Huff. And Huff once worked as the vice president of EcoHealth Alliance, an NGO involved in funneling U.S. taxpayer dollars to bioresearch projects around the world. One of them was the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the origin of the COVID-19 pandemic. And both Beijing and Washington were involved in a massive cover-up. So, anyway. Now, speaking of Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates will join Fauci this week to dictate U.S. government health priorities for the future. They are participating in the annual meeting convened by the Advisory Committee to the Director of the National Institutes of Health. And according to the agenda, Gates will speak about perspectives on the current cooperation with the National Institutes of Health and priorities for the future. In short, Gates is providing a roadmap for what he wants them to focus on, and he will tie future funding to his personal priorities. And of course, Bill Gates is really big on depopulating the planet. You know, he's got his money now. He doesn't need all those Windows users calling and complaining all the time, I guess. So Bill Gates has just sent $7 billion to Africa that will promote abortion as population control. And that is a lot of money. It comes with strings attached, of course. And this kind of money can sway government policy, even against the interests and wishes of the people. All righty. Now, Canada is, they're not what they used to be. They're not the Canada we saw in Canadian bacon. It's not even the Canada that Claire and I experienced when we lived in Washington State, and we'd drive up there every once in a while. There is this father who lost his son to cancer, launched a blistering attack on the Canadian government as it considers offering euthanasia to sick children. It's like telling them your life isn't worth living. And Canada is out there with some of the most relaxed laws on euthanasia. In fact, it's really getting kind of out of control. A disabled veteran in Canada has revealed that the Trudeau government pressured her to be euthanized because she didn't have enough money to afford a wheelchair lift in her home. Okay, that's basically it. Being broke is now a capital crime. You know, with the death penalty here. And a lot of people are noticing what's going up on Canada. And over at brownstone.org, they're talking about how Canada has evolved a gruesome, terrifying culture of death. And they're saying the same thing I did just a minute ago. Canada used to be a serious country, was a fine place to live and raise a family. And, you know, they had high taxes, but you got value for that money. You had a social welfare system, universal socialized medical system, good public schools, public universities, and so forth and so on. That Canada no longer exists. It's an indisputable moral and economic decline. And I guess they were in a race with the United States to see who can hit bottom first. But Justin Trudeau is petulant, tyrannical, and anti-liberty in personality and policy. His anti-freedom stances and his unapologetic admiration for dictatorships such as China have set the tone and pace of the decline. Okay? Canada is now euthanizing 10,000 of its citizens every single year. And some of the horror stories coming out of this permissive policy will horrify you. All right. And so It's really terrible. It's like they're trying to get us used to the idea of government-mandated euthanasia by using Canada, just like they're using China to get us used to the idea of total draconian lockdowns. You know, it's sort of a binary thing. Would you rather be this or would you rather be that? And they're both negative situations here. The Australian government is dealing with an excess death rate, and this year it's at 13%, and that is an incredibly high number for mortality. And they're saying, we don't know what's driving this increase in deaths. You know, cue the elephant in the room here. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization, which, remember, is an unelected international public health agency, are meeting to consider a draft version of a proposed international pandemic treaty, which will give the World Health Organization new powers to tackle false, misleading information or disinformation, which would be legally binding under international law. Well, I thought treaties were between nation states, and the World Health Organization is not a nation state. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And, of course, what they mean by controlling misinformation is hushing up all the harm that the COVID vaccines are doing. Otherwise, there's going to be lawsuits all over the place. And if Pfizer thought they got burned by that last court settlement, they haven't seen anything yet. Getting over to the international news, Ukrainian President Zelensky has been named Time's Person of the Year. And they're lauding him and saying what a great guy he is. And he's in good company because, if you remember, Adolf Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year back in 1938. So, meanwhile, another drone attack has hit another airbase deep inside Russian territory. An airfield in the city of Kursk was targeted by a drone strike yesterday, just a day or two, day after two air bases deep inside Russian territory were hit by Ukrainian drones. So Russia is now on high alert. Putin has basically said, we've got to be protecting ourselves. We're being attacked, definitely. Meanwhile, Poland is out there mobilizing for war. They had tried to act as a buffer nation and maintain some semblance of neutrality, but that that didn't work on out. So they're arming up. And apparently the U.S. government is getting ready to sell them some tanks. There's been a second video that surfaced confirming the execution of Ukrainian soldiers by other Ukrainian soldiers. And these are like field executions, court martial, and they're just, you know, they're being given orders they don't want to follow. Okay, they don't want to fire on fellow Ukrainians, so it's a choice between being cannon fodder to shell and kill civilians, or face a firing squad. And the video confirms that some of them have wound up being shot by their own countrymen. Meanwhile, if you're feeling like your wallet is getting a little bit thinner, it is. Congress is going to deliver tens of billions of dollars aid more to Ukraine in the coming days. Congressional sources tell the dossier that there is a strong enough appetite in Congress, given the unanimously pro-war Democratic voting bloc and the significant amount of Republicans who support the perpetual funding of the Zelensky government, to pass a bill by the end of next week that will send some $38 billion overseas to Ukraine. And by the way, that's your money they're spending, which is another reason to be concerned about election fraud. To nobody's surprise, over at the post-millennial, there's been the latest poll regarding Americans' perceptions of the war in Ukraine and support for an indefinite stream of aid from Washington to Kiev is declining. No big surprise there. So most Americans are saying that it's time for Russia and Ukraine to reach some kind of a peace agreement. Most Americans are seeing this conflict as a stalemate. The Russian-Ukraine war is viewed as unwinnable for either side. And while most support more military and economic aid, Republican voters now want Kiev to cut a peace deal. And that would certainly be a very good thing to do. But there's a monkey wrench in the gears here, because over in Germany, Chancellor Olaf Scholz came on out saying that the sanctions against Russia will remain if Russia dictates the terms of peace in Ukraine. And so Olaf just killed any chances of a peace deal right there. Okay. Russian investigators have completed a probe against a Colombian citizen, Alberto Enrique Geraldo Saray, who had created bot farms to spread fake reports about Russia's military operation in Ukraine on U.S. instructions in the spring of 2022, the spring of this year. And this Colombian citizen is accused of deliberately distributing false information about the use of the Russian armed forces in the special military operation. So there's massive amounts of propaganda going on. Now, Bernie Sanders, he says that he is going to bring a Yemen war powers resolution to the floor of the Senate for a vote, hopefully next week. This resolution would end U.S. support for the brutal Saudi-led war and blockade on Yemen. According to the United Nations, the war and blockade have killed at least 377,000 people, more than half of which are children under the age of five. And if that doesn't constitute a war crime, I don't. Anyway, a version of the resolution has been introduced in the House and Senate. Both have received strong bipartisan support with over 100 co-sponsors in the House. And Sanders said that he thinks he has enough votes to pass the resolution. A similar resolution made it through Congress in 2019, but was vetoed by the president. Now, over in the United Kingdom, British Prime Minister and billionaire associate of the World Economic Forum, Rishi Sunak, is calling for draconian police powers to deal with, quote, illegal protests, end quote, using the disruptive, glue-happy traffic activism of groups like Just Stop Oil as a rationale, which, you know, suggests that Just Stop Oil behaving as it did, splashing paint on works of art, may have been a manufactured group for just that purpose. And so the Prime Minister is out there saying, my view is that those who break the law should feel the full force of it. Okay. And so, the dictatorships are coming down all over the world here. Now, something weird is going on over in Germany. Police raided an alleged far-right German terror group led by a man claiming descent from an ancient royal line, accused of plotting to overthrow the government and install him as a monarch. Now, this guy calls himself Prince Heinrich XIII. He's 71 years old, thought to belong to the House of Reuss, was named among 25 people after the police raided 130 locations, including a palace in the state of Thuringia, the ancestral seat of the family. And you might think this is just some kind of, you know, small group with great ideas, but Germany deployed 3,000 police officers during these raids. There's a little bit of propaganda out there. TASS is reporting that the suspected organizers of the coup in Germany contacted Russian representatives but failed to find any support. Maybe they were trying to bait the Russians into doing something that Germany could say, oh, look at those Russians. We have to go teach them a lesson. Now, nearly half of Americans say that Joe Biden should support the protesters in China and condemn the Chinese Communist Party's authoritarian regime. And that would be really a very good thing. It may be too late, because just as we went to air, a story came on down that China is basically backing off the draconian lockdowns and trying to go back to normal, which shows that, yeah, when enough people get in the streets of a country, the government will have to pay attention. All righty. Now, Senator Josh Hawley seems to have it in for China. And basically said that the prioritizing of weapons shipments to Ukraine could embolden China to take Taiwan. And Hawley's telling Blinken to prioritize arming Taiwan over Ukraine. Now, we could wind up in a world war with both China and Russia, who are moving closer together militarily. It's doubtful that we could win a war against China or Russia We certainly can't beat them both. We really can't. Meanwhile, Canada is stepping on in. They're going to increase their warship presence in the Taiwan Strait. This according to Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly. And it says Canada is planning to increase its number of warships in the Taiwan Strait as a message to China that the waters are not its national property, and so forth and so on. Russia has erected a new missile base on an island near Japan for round-the-clock watch. And this is basically in the disputed Kuril Islands. And they've erected a mobile coastal defense missile system on the northernmost island in the chain. And they're basically saying that the coastal servicemen in the Pacific Fleet will keep a round-the-clock watch to control the adjacent water area and strait zones. And this, of course, is annoying a lot of people. Now, let's see. The head of the State Duma Defense Committee, Andrei Kartapalov, is saying that the U.S. is armed with cutting-edge chemical weapons technology. And despite the ratification of the Chemical Weapons Convention, the United States is the only country in the world that has still not completed getting rid of them. And it has the newest technologies in this area. And that's absolutely true. There was a convention to get rid of all the biological weapons. The U.S. didn't do that. They still have stockpiles of, you know, anthrax bombs and stuff. Okay, now, Lloyd Austin has basically issued a warning to officers in the White Hat community. This is a little ad hoc community within the military. And he's basically laying down the law, saying that you're going to have to... Got to take a break here. Okay.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Anyway, welcome back to our show. And there is a group within the military that are called the White Hats. And at least 65 officers across all branches of the armed forces have received letters from Lloyd Austin accusing them of treason and demanding they voluntarily terminate command and surrender to proper authority, that being Lloyd Austin himself. And basically what it looks like is... A source in General David Berger's office said the Austin sent General Berger a personalized note with instructions to publicly condemn President Donald Trump and overtly recognize Joe Biden as the lawfully elected president of the United States, to order his forces to at once cease and desist all unconstitutional paramilitary action against elected and appointed office. Officers, and to surrender no later than the 22nd of this month. And this tells me, first of all, that there is a growing movement within the military that understands the election was stolen. And apparently the government, the pseudo-government, if you will, has been shaken by what happened down in Brazil, and they're clearly worried that our military might decide to intervene in the obviously stolen 2020 and 2022 elections. Lloyd would not be doing this unless there was a large portion of the military unhappy with the imposed regime. Now, most military people I know, in fact, I would say all the military people I know, are strict constitutionalists. And, you know, they swear an oath to it on their enlistment. And, they can't be any more happy about a stolen government than we are, especially because a government that is not elected by the people is going to be more likely to send them in harm's way, which is what's going on now pretty much all over the world. Meanwhile, the U.S. Navy has lowered their test standards to meet recruitment numbers, okay? People are not signing up for the military because there's a good possibility you could lose important bits of your body in the coming conflagration. And about 80% of Americans of prime recruiting age are ineligible for military service due to obesity, criminal records, and other obstacles. And the remainder have many non-military options to choose from in even this stressed economy. And the Navy's recruiting goal for this year is 38,000 Americans, and they're making some major changes. They've raised the maximum enlistment age from 39 to 41, which is the statutory limit. It's also told recruiters they will accept candidates who score well below average on the Armed Forces Qualification Test, which is the standard test administered in all U.S. military recruiting. So they're having trouble getting the best and the brightest. Okay, and another story, this one out of Domagood. Despite massive military spending, America's bases are literally falling apart. They're just crumbling into ruin because the money is spent on war and not on proper maintenance. And if they're doing the same thing to the weapons, then we've got a real problem here. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We've got a caller waiting on the line already. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.